All right, lovely gospel today. A little on the long side, I admit, but a lovely gospel. I know many of you have heard it 100 times again, the parable of the seed and the sower. So by way of introduction, to start out with, I do not believe that a human life is one of those options and one of those options alone. All right? So it's not like Joe is on the path, eaten by birds, Mike is in the weeds, that's him, and whomever is in the good soil. No, it's not a one thing only situation. We have all of these different environments of faith. We have all of them in our lives at different points. So you might think of that sower spreading the seed as tiny little pieces of your soul being scattered throughout life. And some of the seed is barren, some of it's on good earth, and what have you, and it's our job to cultivate that good earth where faith can grow. So I just want to explain and maybe illustrate what these environments of faith might look like. So for starters, the path. You know, the path is like desert. You know, there is nothing there. That's the point. The seed can't even germinate, let alone take root, therefore it's just bird seed. And the person I think of for that, a gentleman named Marcus. He was a professional body piercer. For the record, I do not have any piercings whatsoever. Like, did not meet him in that context. Just get that idea out of your head. He's a friend of a friend. So we were hanging out, me, my friend, and a couple others, including him. And it was fine. It was no big deal, really, as far as I was aware. I had my fun. I went home. The next day, my friend said, you know, by the way, Justin, I was in First Theology at the time, so I was just on the path to priesthood, starting to take my faith very seriously, possibility of becoming a priest, so I talked about faith during this little meeting. The next day, my friend says, you know, Justin, you had quite an effect on Marcus, because you're the very first practicing Catholic he was able to meet and respect. And the meaning of that didn't click with me. I said, oh, well, thank you. That's a very sweet thing to say, click. It took a whole day for that thought to marinate in my head where I realized, wait a minute, that guy was in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. He went that long, and he never met a Catholic that he was able to respect and or relate to. And sure, it's humbling to know that, you know, I somehow broke that cycle. But it was harrowing to understand that someone could go that long without meeting a single good Catholic. That's a scary thought to me. And that's what the path is. You know, Marcus has a seed of faith within him because every single person on earth does. And there was nothing for it to grow in. He had no good soil for his faith to take root in. He had nothing in his life, at least by way of Catholicism. So that's the path. It's where faith doesn't have anything to build on. And then, the next thing I wanted to talk about is the rockiness, the rocky soil. The soil where it springs up for a little bit, but there's no real nutrients there. And for that, I want to share a short story about my brother Eric. He's 6 years younger than me. He's the loved son. I'm the good-natured son. And my brother is proud to be Christian. He is proud to be Catholic. You know, he's kind of a quiet Catholic. He doesn't go to church as often as I do. I said that accidentally at the 8 o'clock Mass, and everyone laughed, and I had to back up and realize what I had just said. Of course, he doesn't go to church as much as me. He doesn't go to church that often, but he is proud to be Catholic, and he does believe in Christ and all of that. But that's just kind of him. Well, back in the early 2000s, I'm going to say 2005 at the absolute latest, he did something that he had never done before. He asked me if we could have a one-on-one Bible study. And the reason he wanted a Bible study then is because he had recently read a book called The Da Vinci Code. For those of you that do not know what I'm referring to, The Da Vinci Code is an absolutely work of fiction. Absolute fiction. I want to say that perfectly clear. It is a crime thriller. It is a paperback novel, and it is a fine book. It is well written. It is exciting. There is nothing wrong with that. But for those of you that read those sorts of books, I think you'll agree with me when I say it's relatively typical. It's not that outstanding of a book. However, when it first came out, it was advertised really well. Because when it came out, it was advertised, there's this new book, The Da Vinci Code. It's quasi-fiction. And if you read it, you'll have a better chance of understanding the real meaning of the Bible by way of this thing rediscovered by Leonardo da Vinci. It's all hogwash. However, at the time, people of all ages gobbled that up. It was an extremely effective advertisement campaign, and my brother is one person who got lost in the fad. He read the book, he started caring more about scripture in at least one specific way, and his faith sprung up in a way that it never had before. But there's nothing there of real substance. And a few weeks or months later, I forgot how long the process took, it became abundantly clear and undeniable that no, the Da Vinci Code is absolute fiction. There is no secret in that book that helps you better understand sacred scripture. And a lot of people they felt betrayed over that. And I can't tell you what my brother was thinking, because obviously I don't know. But I would bet that my brother felt very hurt, because he put his faith in something that was unworthy of his trust. And my brother has never asked me to have a Bible study ever again after that point. And, you know, that's fine. That's where he is. I can't help but wonder how things might have been different if his faith sprung up in that way with something with more genuine substance to it. And when our faith springs like that in rocky soil that cannot last, well, the secret is, just like in gardening, to take that plant and transport it into better soil. And that brings me to the good earth part of the analogy. Now, when I glanced at the readings last week before I went on mission trip, I kind of thought, I'll think of something else to talk about for the good earth. Leave my mission trip thing for later. But you know, I had all of yesterday free just to get my act together. So I was sitting there at Dublin's getting my homily together, just munching on my eggplant parmesan sandwich. $10.99, comes with fries and chips. And I'm just sitting there pondering about what I'm going to say on Sunday, and I couldn't help it. I'm like, no, I have to talk about mission trip, because it's perfect. It is a perfect example of good earth, because here's the thing. With mission trip, they are long days. You get up at 6:15, lights out at 11 o'clock. Long day. However, you only actually work. You only actually are painting the fence or whatever for about 5 hours. You're there from 9 to 3, and you have a whole hour for lunch. My point being, mission trip is not 12 hours of grueling labor. A lot of your time is spent singing and dancing, being alone with your group, you know, lunch and dinner and community, hearing talks, listening to music, watching appropriate faith-building videos. It's a whole mix of things. That's what's so good about it. And I'm an adult. You know, I'm no longer an adolescent. I was there as a chaperone. So I'm watching all of this as something of an outsider, because it's not there for me so much as the youth. And what I loved is I was watching all these pieces come together, because there was the work. They were legitimately making the world a better place with their own two hands. They were celebrating their faith. They were celebrating each other and themselves. God love them. And they had one-on-one time. They had community time. It was everything coming together. It was an exclusively Catholic mission trip, by the way, so there was mass, there was opportunity for confessions, and everything came together. And that was how the faith sprung up in that 30, 60, 100-fold sort of way. I can't promise 100% success, of course, but it was wonderful to stand there and watch that all play out in front of me. So with that, you know, I want to shift my focus now to you adults. Because, you know, I've been here for about 13 months now. I feel like I know you better. You know, I did the math. We have statistically celebrated over 400 masses together. I feel like I've heard that many confessions. I am not keeping score. I know that you worry. You worry about your family, your friends, your parish, your town, the church, the world. I know that you know that there's something wrong and something's got to improve. And I'm telling you, it's not going to happen without you. All right? Because you are the good earth for faith to grow. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I got to do it, guys. I got to assign you homework. I'm a grumpy old priest. That's what we do. So don't worry, kids. It's only homework for the adults. If you are an adult, and if your children are grown up now, and if you have not passed on the faith with as much success as you were hoping for one reason or another, trust me, I hear you. I want you to seriously consider signing up for a mission trip chaperone experience in 2018, or to become a catechist for our religious education program after church. Because, you know, maybe things didn't work out with your family the way you hoped. I understand that. Not calling you bad parents. This is the way it works. You do your best. I hear you. But no matter the circumstances, no matter what happened with your biological children, you're not done. All right? You are not done passing on the faith. Because I am telling you that there are young adults and children who still need you. They are growing. They are growing in faith, growing as people, and they need you. They need adults, people who have been there to guide them. Mission trip makes no sense. If it's 250 teenagers, we kick them out of the bus and say, here, grow in your faith, and then we all go to Applebee's. Like, no, that would be horrible. They would burn down whatever building they were staying in. It has to be that mix. It's got to be the youth. It's got to be adults in their life guiding them along the right way without contradicting the people that they already are. So I want you to seriously think about that. That is your homework, because there is ample opportunity for you to assist others in their journey of faith. Again, in my opinion, catechists and mission trip chaperones are two great needs. That is not an exhaustive list. And if that doesn't apply to you, just remember, we are all seeking out that good earth where that seed of faith can not only grow but thrive. So if you find yourself on a path or in weeds or in rocky soil, keep on going and find that environment where that faith can grow up and spring.